The Street That Wasn't There by Clifford D. Simak and Carl Jacobi. Mr. Jonathan Chambers left his house on Maple Street at exactly 7 o'clock in the evening, and set out on the daily walk he had taken at the same time, come rain or snow, for 20 solid years. The walk never varied. He paced 2 blocks down Maple Street, stopped at the Red Star confectionery to buy a rose Trofero Perfecto, then walked to the end of the 4th block on Maple. There he turned right on Lexington, followed Lexington to Oak, down Oak, and so, by way of Lincoln, back to Maple again, and to his home. He didn't walk fast. He took his time. He always returned to his front door at exactly 7:45. No one ever stopped to talk with him. Even the man at the Red Star confectionery, where he bought his cigar, remained silent while the purchase was being made. Mr. Chambers merely tapped on the glass top of the counter with a coin. The man reached in and brought forth the box, and Mr. Chambers took his cigar. That was all. For people long ago had gathered that Mr. Chambers desired to be left alone. The newer generation of townsfolk called it eccentricity. Certain uncouth persons had a different word for it. The oldsters remembered that this queer-looking individual with his black silk muffler, rosewood cane and bowler hat, once had been a professor at State University. A professor of metaphysics, they seemed to recall, or some such outlandish subject. At any rate, a furore of some sort was connected with his name, at the time an academic scandal. He had written a book, and he had taught the subject matter of that volume to his classes. What that subject matter was had long been forgotten, but whatever it was had been considered sufficiently revolutionary to cost Mr. Chambers his post at the university. A silver moon shone over the chimney-tops, and a chill, impish October wind was rustling the dead leaves when Mr. Chambers started out at 7 o'clock. It was a good night, he told himself, smelling the clean, crisp air of autumn and the faint pungence of distant wood-smoke. He walked unhurriedly, swinging his cane a bit less jauntily than 20 years ago. He tucked the muffler more securely under the rusty old top-coat, and pulled his bowler hat more firmly on his head. He noticed that the street light at the corner of Maple and Jefferson was out, and he grumbled a little to himself when he was forced to step off the walk to circle a boarded-off section of newly laid concrete work before the driveway of 816. It seemed that he reached the corner of Lexington and Maple just a bit too quickly, but he told himself that this couldn't be, for he never did that. For 20 years, since the year following his expulsion from the university, he had lived by the clock. The same thing, at the same time, day after day. He had not deliberately set upon such a life of routine. A bachelor, living alone with sufficient money to supply his humble needs, the timed existence had grown on him gradually. So he turned on Lexington and back.